Marcia, would you open us in prayer, please?
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this time we have together to be in your word and to have this wonderful fellowship. Father, I pray that you open the eyes and ears of our hearts so that we will hear what your word has to say to us and be able to share that word with one another. Lord, we love you and praise you and thank you for your watch care, your mercy, and your vigilance, Lord. We love you and praise you in the name of your Son, our King, Christ Jesus.
Yes, we do, Father. Yes. Thanks, Marcia. Yes. Now, we're missing a couple of our ladies tonight. Jean's not going to be able to make it. She's got a headache, so let's remember to pray for her.
Okay.
But on top of that, I have heard from more than one person that this week was a rather stretching study. Mm-hmm. However, the good part of that was that at least one of the people said that they were happy. They knew it was probably good for them to be sort of wrestling in the Lord, in the Word. And so that's really good.
I thought it was wonderful because I got to read the verses over and over and over.
Good for you.
Trying to pick it up.
Good for you.
I printed it all out.
Well, good for you.
I could lay it out in front of me.
Good for you.
What is coming?
Okay, good. Awesome. Now, let's remember. Now, I know that you're a little new, Deborah, but you're and already a part of our study. But occasionally, it's been known that I make mistakes in references.
That's so, what you're saying.
Yeah, so every now and then, someone will come back and say, well, I couldn't find it in Luke 6:4, but I found it in Luke 6:14, and that's my error. I think, you know, there's a few ways to look at it. One is that I'm imperfect, but we all know that already. The other thing is that it just, it adds a little dimension to the study. So if there's one that's just kind of standing out there in left field, try to find the correct one. Mm. So since it was a busy week, or, you know, an interesting week, did anybody come up with what they think the word is? What do you think?
I think it's and.
Do you? Very interesting. What do you think?
I came up with cause.
Aha.
Causes. Cause.
Ah. Yes, that's correct.
Uh-oh. Well, that's okay.
Yeah, it is okay. It is. Now, how many times have I...
When we first...
Oh!
When we first started this study, I did... Every topic every week was a noun. And I began to realize that was a pattern. And people were having the exact same experience that you did over and over again. And then they got pretty good at it. And then I thought, okay, time to change to verbs. So I put a verb in, and then we went all the way back to beginning again. I can't find it. What's the common word? I said, well, you have to look beyond nouns. You have to look at verbs, too. And then we got in the swing of that. Then came, I forget, there was a little word. Oh, the word all. Mm, and that really threw everybody for a loop. So, you know, as we make progress here, we'll get better and better at it. So let's see what we find out. Since we're a small group tonight, we may go through these verses faster than usual. You'll notice there are a lot of verses this week.
Okay, that's good.
All right, so...
change my entire thinking.
Oh, good.
It's fun. It's an adventure.
I have two pages of notes here that I've been trying. I was like, wait, is it this? Is it this? Is it this? It's like, oh, my gosh. I decided to try and go with Old Testament versus New Testament.
Interesting.
Okay, well, I'll look up all of these, and then I'll look up all of these and see if there's, you know. Mm-hmm. Well, that didn't work either.
Well, this will be good practice in thinking on your feet, or thinking on your seat, depending on how you want to think about it. Okay. So I'm going to, since we're catching you on the left-hand side, we will go to the first line, and I'm going to ask Marcia to get us started, please.
Okay.
So the first reference is Genesis chapter 2, verse 21.
Okay. Oh, yes. And by the way, I never, ever heard of Nine Lessons and Carols before.
Ah, okay.
And I actually looked it up on the internet, and I printed out 9 pages worth of what each of the 9 lessons are. Mm-hmm. And this is basically what's happening at Cambridge, something or other. Mm-hmm.
Oxford. Yeah. Yes, it'll be fun. You'll see.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Christmas Eve. That's our Christmas Eve service. Oh. Yeah. All right. Okay, Genesis 2:21.
21. So the Lord God caused the man to fall into a deep sleep, and while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh.
Okay.
Creator God, in preparing to make a helpmate for Adam, caused him to go into a deep sleep. The sovereign surgeon took one of Adam's ribs, then skillfully closed his flesh.
Okay.
I just stuck to the line.
What about, I noticed that. What about the word caused? Another thing, just as a hint for you, since you're coming in kind of new, after you understand the verse, then look at specifically the word. Okay, what do we find out about the word caused in here?
Okay, God created Adam first, mm-hmm. and then he realized Adam needed someone to be his, he needed someone for company too, mm-hmm. helpmate. Mm-hmm. So God caused, he induced sleep on mm-hmm. Adam, just like anesthesia in a way.
Okay.
And he took a rib from Adam, and out of the rib he made the woman, Eve.
Right, okay.
But God is the sovereign creator, and that's the way he chose to make
Eve. Okay, good. So who was it that did the causing here?
God.
It's God who was the great mover, some people call him. Creator is a much better word. But God caused the man mm-hmm. to fall into a deep sleep. God didn't just kind of walk along and discover this guy taking a nap and decide to do something. It was God's plan, and God put it in place. He was the one who caused it to happen.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right?
Yep.
All right. Now let's go on to Exodus 33.
Exodus 33:19. Mm-hmm. Okay. And the Lord said, I will cause all my goodness to pass in front of you, and I will proclaim my name, the Lord, in your presence. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. This is God again causing
mm-hmm.
something to happen, which is Moses had been chosen by the Lord to lead the nation of Israel out of Egypt's captivity. He needed reassurance of God's constant presence for the task he was chosen for. The Lord told Moses that he would cause all his goodness, that's the Lord's goodness, to pass before Moses, that God would proclaim his name, the Lord, in his presence. The Lord would show mercy and compassion on all he pleased.
Okay.
I know the thing about, he caused it to happen. It had to be a certain way because no one could look on his face and live. Mm-hmm. So he actually put Moses in a special place to keep him safe, the cleft of the rock.
That's right.
And then when he passed by, Moses was allowed to see the glory of God go past him.
All his goodness.
His goodness.
Right.
But he didn't see his face. But mm-hmm. that was his reassurance. He gave Moses a physical reassurance, mm-hmm. a look, at actually, a little mm-hmm. bit, a peek of his presence, which was really cool.
Okay.
And then he did, he made the statement, because Moses was going to be the leader, but the Lord would show mercy and compassion on all he pleased.
Okay. So who is the one that's causing here? It's a verb, right?
Yep.
Causes a verb. So
yes.
Who is the one that's doing it?
God.
God is doing it. Okay,
mm-hmm.
good. Now, what do you think cause means? So we know who. We mm-hmm. like to ask that question.
Mm-hmm.
But what exactly does cause mean, do you think? We've heard it twice now. Are you ready to think of any synonyms about what it might mean? That will cause, any of
them. Evoke.
Evoke, that's a good one.
Make happen.
Make happen. Okay. Make happen.
To bring about.
Bring about. Good. Okay. The prime mover. That's the word that some people call God. Prime mover. He's a lot more than that, you know. Yep. But that's a way that people...
Catalyst?
Catalyst?
Maybe.
I don't know.
I
have trouble with that one because a catalyst is only one that kind of starts it. But.
Yeah, you're right.
Okay, so that's good. That's a good start. Right. All right, now let's go on to... you have anything else to add? Nope. All right, let's go on to number 16. Number 16, verse 5, please, Marcia.
Mm-hmm. Then he said to Korah and all his followers, "In the morning the Lord will show who belongs to him and who is holy, and he will have that person come near him. The man he chooses, he will cause to come near him. You, Korah."
Yep. Five is all
that
we
was
needed.
It. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's all right.
I'm sorry. Okay. All right. All right, God is the God is the one that is doing the causing.
That's right.
And what he's speaking, this particular, I had to read because I had no idea that was about.
Go ahead.
So I'll just read what I wrote. But but I had to read way up past and after. There was dissension among the ranks of the Levites.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's how you say it. But Korah, Dathan, mm-hmm. and Abiram openly opposed Moses and Aaron, whom God had chosen, and confronted them with 250 insolent men that were with them. Moses warned them the next morning the Lord would show who belongs to him and is holy. Mm-hmm. The man God caused to come near him was the one he chose. The thing here is that these people were of the tribe of Levi, mm-hmm. and they were supposed to be priests.
Right.
And they decided, why should Moses and Aaron be over us when we're in the Levitical branch?
Mm-hmm.
And so, as far as I could, what I was reading was that these individuals sided with a whole that group of 250 people
mm-hmm.
that they would take Aaron down and Moses and let them know that they were totally dissatisfied with them and weren't needed and they didn't have to follow God's orders.
So now we have the person that did it was
mm-hmm.
God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, God
mm-hmm.
caused it to happen, the thing to happen. What did he cause? What does it say? He caused...
The one who is holy or chosen by God to come near
mm-hmm.
him.
Mm-hmm.
God would reveal mm-hmm. that person.
Let's look at the last part of verse 5 and put in God where God belongs. Okay. It says, the man God chooses, God will cause to come near him.
Okay. makes sense, yeah.
Okay. So God is the one that's making it happen.
Mm-hmm.
And it says it's the one God chose.
Yeah.
So there's sort of a double angle there. In other words, mm-hmm. God does the choosing first, and God causes that man to be drawn near, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So now we've read three verses. Now, granted, they're all Old Testament, but, you know, the whole Bible shows us who God is.
Absolutely.
So he's the one that's causing. He's the one that's, as you said, evoking. He's the one that's making things happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they're as the result, these actions that are occurring are the result of God's plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
God, as you mentioned, Marcia, in the garden, God knew it was not good for man to be alone. That was God's plan to give him a
mm-hmm.
helpmate. So he caused Adam to fall asleep and then carried on his plan, right?
Yeah.
And the same thing Moses said. You know, God's telling Moses what he needed to do. And he said, I just need to know you're going to be with me. Show me your glory. And God said, okay, I'm going to cause my goodness to pass before you. So God had a plan. It was going forward. And he was encouraging Moses, right?
Mm-hmm.
Strengthening his understanding and his reassuring him and all of that. And he did that by causing his goodness to pass before
mm-hmm.
him.
Yep.
Okay, so there's a plan. It's not just that God's causing this and causing that and causing the other thing
mm-hmm.
to happen.
Yeah, that's
right?
That's very true.
Go ahead. It to happen for a particular reason.
Yes, yes. Purpose, okay. Purpose. It, which is a kind of a twofold thing. There's a short-term purpose, you know. He caused Adam to fall asleep because he wanted him asleep to accomplish, right? But on the other hand, there was a long-term, well, maybe even you could say that creating Eve was short-term purpose too, but there's also the long-term, you know, all the way through the whole thing, this whole plan. Mm. Yes, that's right. Yeah. Pretty cool, huh? We only read 3 verses so far.
My question yes, to ma'am. You is, normally in the Bible, wherever you're referring to God, mm-hmm. he, his, whatever, that first letter is capitalized. Why is it not? It's not.
Mine isn't.
Some translations do that. Some do not.
Okay. Yes. See, because all of this is the NIV.
Yes, the NIV does not do that. And as a matter of fact, it's not just Bible translations. Magazines, articles. I write a fair amount of articles. And different publications, they want the H's capitalized. And other publications, they do not.
Oh, okay.
Why? Oh, I know. I bet I can know why. Yeah.
I don't know what their reasons are. Yeah. I choose to use it when it's my own writing, like my blog and things like that. I put the capital H in because I like it.
But
that's just me. They're probably stylistic reasons and stuff like that.
Good. When you're talking about God, I mean...
Yeah, that's what I think.
He deserves to be capitalized in anywhere, you know, but...
Yes. I agree. That's... What were you going to say? That's exactly...
That's what you're going to say? Okay. All right. Well, so we're making good progress already on the word cause. And just so you know, there were a lot of... uses of the word cause. Mm. I just picked a few. Well, the list was kind of long. I get it. All right, so if you feel brave enough, Deborah, we'll attack the next row of verses. I'll let you do that. Is that all right? Feel ready?
Yeah.
All right, well, we're going to go next to Acts. So you see, we did 3 verses in the Old Testament. Now we're going to head right over to the book of Acts, chapter 10. I did try to keep the references themselves relatively short.
Okay.
Acts 10, verses 39 and 40.
Yep.
All right, when you're ready.
See, I printed all this off.
Yes, that was clever of you.
Now I have an
idea.
So that's a good, else, it's a good way to do it.
Couldn't tell you how many pages I've got here.
Okay.
Acts 10, 39, 40.
Yes.
We are witnesses of everything he did in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross, But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The strange thing is...
Yes, ma'am.
I was highlighting all of the ands I could find.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm kind of coming up with the same conclusion.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. What she said is what I have here.
Good.
Oh, gosh.
Good. That's the Holy Spirit.
Yep.
Isn't that weird?
No.
You know, it's
wonderful.
It's wonderful. Isn't that wonderful? Yes, it's wonderful.
Wonderful, yeah.
All right. What do you have in there about cause?
Well, caused him to be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Going back to, I'm sure I read Above and Beyond because I read it here in this mm-hmm. Bible, but... way back when Jesus took the figure of a man,
mm-hmm.
you know, I mean, all of God's wonderfulness mm-hmm. and everything that we've seen in the Old Testament were manifestations, if you will, of his goodness.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's being seen in...
Oh, wow.
A man.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Maybe this was, like you said, quick thinking on my butt, but I don't know if this is really good.
I didn't say that. I think that's great. I didn't think of it that way.
Mm-mm, I hadn't either.
What did you say, Marsha, about the cause part?
Cause part. Okay, let me get to this.
Caused him to be seen.
I'm having problems because I wrote this in cursive instead of printed. I can't read my own writing. Okay. The gospel was shared live before mm-hmm. these people telling of Jesus' death, on the cross, and that God raised him from the dead and caused Jesus to be seen mm-hmm. by individuals. God chose to see mm-hmm. him, and that word, there's that word chose and choose. Mm-hmm. I mean, those are intertwined mm-hmm. over and around. But
right.
The thing is, God the Father didn't allow everyone to see Jesus.
Right.
He chose the people
right.
he wanted
okay.
to see him after he arose.
Okay. Yeah, you kind of went on to verse 41 there, though, didn't you?
I did?
Yeah, a little bit. But that's okay. It's okay.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, don't apologize. It's okay, because that's important. The idea is that the truth of the resurrection is being shared here,
mm-hmm.
and it's, you know, they killed him by hanging him on the tree, but mm-hmm. God raised him from the dead on the third day, and the confirmation of that is that God caused, once again, mm-hmm. we see the purpose, right? There's
yeah.
the short-term purpose. He caused him to be seen, so there are witnesses that he was alive
yes.
again.
Yes. Yep.
Okay? Caused him mm-hmm. to be seen. Caused. Mm-hmm. Made it happen. Evoked it. Generated yeah. it, you might say.
Yeah.
He provoked it. He made it happen.
It's true.
Okay?
Yep. And he was speaking to fellow believers
mm-hmm.
to recount his testimony of
mm-hmm.
what he was a witness
mm-hmm.
of. He'd been there with him.
So, yes. So, it was very important in God's overall plan, too, you know, the long-term thing, that Jesus was seen. And there were witnesses could testify to the fact that he'd been raised from the dead.
Yeah.
So, his being seen was part of a necessary part of the Father's plan. So he caused it to happen. Isn't it exciting?
Yes.
It is. It really is.
Tying it into the fact that you said that God caused him to be seen to bear witness.
Yes.
That there were witnesses. It
yes.
says right here in 39, we
yes.
are witnesses of everything
yes.
he did.
Yes.
They were witnesses of the great goodness
yes.
that was there, but now they actually see it.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was
okay.
evidence. God, you know, look, God made people. He
mm-hmm.
he knows how we are. You know, it's like they call it Missouri, they call it the show me state, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to tell me something, you better show it to me until I believe it. Now, you know, he didn't, as you said, Marcia, because in verse 41 it says, you know, not to everybody, just to the ones God
mm-hmm.
chose.
Mm-hmm.
But there's enough evidence. God makes sure when it's necessary, God makes sure it happens.
Sure.
Yep.
So, you know, well, we got a lot of verses to go yet because it gets more exciting, but let's go on to another.
That's a word.
I know.
Cool.
Let's go to another New Testament passage, and it's over in the Gospels. It's Matthew 5, 43 to 45. Matthew 5.
What the heavens name?
Do you not have that one?
Yes, I do.
All right, good.
As a matter of fact.
Good.
I thought, wait a minute, it said here Matthew 43, and I didn't think I printed all of them.
Okay, go ahead.
That is a neat system.
Oh, okay.
Go ahead.
You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy, but I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be children of your Father in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and unrighteous. Which is strange.
Mm-hmm.
Because sun, as it's written, is S-U-N.
Right. It is sun, the
but
sun.
It could be
well,
interchanged.
You could.
Okay.
But it's S-U-N and that's biblical, so let's stick with that.
Okay. Okay.
And not be hypothetical.
Okay. Direction.
Okay, here we have another cause. And who does it? He caused.
God.
Yeah, okay.
Fine,
good. All right.
Heaven.
We're still
yeah.
doing it. Okay,
yep.
keep going.
Yep.
He causes his. Go ahead. Go ahead.
His sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous.
Okay. All right.
Okay. I'm
You're struggling?
To Well, no, okay, if he's shining his goodness, or the sun, on the evil and the good. That's mm-hmm. basically everybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And okay. the righteous and unrighteous. Okay. That's everybody.
Okay, good.
So in this particular verse, there is no chosen.
Oh, I don't know. You might want to say the righteous and the unrighteous, the chosen and the not chosen.
Well, okay.
You're having trouble because of the two different categories, and they both get the sun.
I guess.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. See, okay. I mean, so it's including everybody.
Yes.
Whereas the verse prior that we read was talking about those that he chose.
Okay, good. Yeah, that's right.
So.
Okay.
Which is it?
Here we go. Okay, here we go. Let's look at, I did get the, we started back in verse 43. Okay. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbors and hate your enemies, but I tell you, love your neighbors and pray for those who persecute you. Okay, now look, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Okay, now look, who's speaking here?
God.
Jesus is speaking.
Yes.
Right. It's red in my Bible. Red letters.
Okay.
So it's Jesus is speaking.
Okay.
And he's talking to people about the way it's been traditionally. You know, traditionally, the way people lived was they loved their neighbors, but they hated their enemies. And Jesus is basically saying, look, I'm coming here to tell you the way it's supposed to be. And the way it's supposed to be is that you're supposed to love your enemies and pray for those that persecute you. As, see, it says here, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. In other words, as evidence, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. To show forth that we really belong to God. That's the chosen, right?
Okay.
Uh-huh. So we're fellow heirs with Jesus
okay.
when we love our enemies and we pray for those that persecute us. Okay. Then he goes on to give the example of that. And here's the example. It says, the sons of your Father in heaven. Now it says he, that's the Father.
Mm-hmm.
Because it refers to the antecedent before that, the Father.
Right.
Okay. The Father causes his son, the sunshine. The sunshine comes up in the morning on the evil and the good, right? You have two mm-hmm. farmers. They're next to each other. They're getting the same
okay.
amount of sun.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. Mm-hmm. And he sends rain. So you got two farmers next to each other. Rain is coming for both of them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a sense in which there is a thing called, just as a way to describe it, common grace. There's gravity, and it helps everybody's feet stay on the ground, right? There's sun that helps the plants to grow in everybody's yard. There's, you know, and so on, so on. These things are common grace that come from God the Father. So he's basically in that situation, so, you know, there's no difference here. So you should not be making the decision to be nice to your neighbor that you happen to like, and be nasty to those people that are picking on you. You know, now, there are other places in Scripture where he makes it clear that you do not have to buy a used car from someone who's already cheated you once with a car. Okay?
Right, okay.
So there are further teachings on the overall thing. But we're just talking about this particular teaching here, actually, from Jesus himself. And realize what this is. Jesus talking about God the Father. He's giving testimony to his Father's character,
mm-hmm.
right? He's saying, my Father makes the sun rise on the evil and the good. And so you ought to be treating your neighbors, your nice neighbors, and your nasty enemies equally, praying for them, right?
Yeah. That's it. Yeah.
Yeah. So Jesus doesn't just say, go out and do it. He gives us a reason for it.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses his own Father's action. You know, as we're talking through all these studies and looking in the Word and learning about the character of God, Jesus is using it too. This is my Father's character. This is what my Father does. So that's why you're supposed to pattern yourself after him.
After him.
Right.
Okay.
I like that. He said using God's character.
So, I mean, it's powerful as all get out to
me.
Yeah, it is.
But I had that same quandary on more than one occasion before, you know. Well, hey, that's not fair. But God's, you know, God's the perfect one to decide who's fair, and this is what he says. So this is. All right.
That's true.
You ready? All right, let's go on to the next one. You don't have anything else to add? Now, we're going back to... realize that in this Matthew passage, we're seeing about God's causing and what he causes and what it says about his character and everything. And it's meant to have an impact on our lives, mm-hmm. on our attitudes, mm-hmm. on our understanding, and on our action. Mm. Right?
Yep. Absolutely.
It's more than just head knowledge of, okay, who caused, mm-hmm. and it's part of his plan and this and this. It's also supposed to be an impact on our lives. Mm.
All right. I thought of cause and effect, but effect's a bad word because I think purpose, as mm-hmm. you said before, mm-hmm. is a better. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to change my effect.
All righty. Cause and purpose is better than cause and effect. Yeah. Yeah. That's probably true.
All right.
We're going to go now to Isaiah, which is one of my favorite books mm-hmm. of the Bible, Isaiah 58. And we're only reading verse 14. Isaiah 58:14. Do you not have it?
Yes,
okay.
I do.
All right.
I was just trying. Do you want me to...
Go ahead.
Okay. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
Ugh. And then you will find your joy in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride in triumph on the heights of the land and to feast on the inheritance of your father Jacob. Mm-hmm. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And I haven't a clue.
Okay. What do you have anything in there, Marcia, you want to throw on the table?
This is about as rough as the...
That's all right.
Whoa. Actually, I love this. This all right. This meant a lot to me because... Okay. This passage refers to God's command that we observe the Sabbath to keep it holy, a day of rest. I went back to Exodus 20, the commandments,
yes.
8 to 11. In obeying that commandment, we will find our joy in the Lord. He will cause us to enjoy life in him, to share in Jacob's inheritance. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Another reference was... Exodus 23, 12, and 13 about the Sabbath rest.
Okay.
But God causes... All right. He will cause us to enjoy life in him, as it says... I'll start with that. To me, it has to do with obedience. And in his command is to do all your work in 6 days, and then on the seventh day, rest. And it's really important to have that, you know, that to be obedient. And I, well, anyway, that it's the fact that we are obeying his command will cause us to have joy in him. And he will cause us to have that joy because we are being obedient. And our Jacob's inheritance is... Well, it was the promised land, mm-hmm. and we have our promised land, which is heaven.
Right.
So God causes all that, but our part is obedience. But okay. God is the one that causes us to enjoy life in him.
Okay. Okay. You have anything, thoughts you want to share, Deborah?
Do you think that these are examples of, or what... let me go back. Uh-huh. Do you think these are examples of the joy we will find in the Lord?
Well,
to be
exactly.
able to feast on the inheritance, to be able to get overabundance, and to be able to take great joy in what it is that he does mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
provide for us.
Yes, yes. And I don't think that it's going to be what we might think it would be. Mm. You know, it might not be jet skis and mink coats.
I hope
okay. one of which I want.
But, yeah, and so I want to bring up something here. Now, thank you for going back because I didn't write it in here, but it does say back in verse 13, if you keep your feet from breaking the Sabbath mm-hmm. And so on, if you call the Sabbath a delight and the Lord's holy day honorable and so on, then mm-hmm. you say, yeah. I was going to ask that question at the
okay.
beginning of verse 14 right. says then. Right. Okay, guys, what was happening before?
It's gotta be
thank
before
you.
That,
that's
yeah.
right. Thank you for finding that out. Okay, so that's what that means. you will find your joy in the Lord, mm-hmm. not in things, not in stuff,
yeah.
whatever. And God will cause you to rise on the heights of the land. Now, that is part of the inheritance that's mentioned later, mm-hmm. you know, the possession of the land, the richness of the land, and so on, and to feast on the inheritance. All that yeah. stuff is true. I want to be really careful here because I agree with what you said about obedience.
Mm.
Okay. That's the outward manifestation of a right attitude of the heart. So I want to be really careful that we're not just saying, okay, as long as you don't go to the store on Sundays and you're right. this and this and this, you know, right. because now look, that's a way to measure it. So I'm not saying you're mm-hmm. wrong. You are correct. But it is, as we said before, when we see God's character mm-hmm. and he says, you know, Jesus says, my Father sends the Son on the so and so on, and that's why you're supposed to behave this way. Okay, then we say, God is God. This is the pattern he set for me. I want to be his servant. That's mm-hmm. where I want my heart bound mm-hmm. up in, with God through Christ. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to follow that behavior. Okay? Now, also look that in verse 13, it's talking about delighting. It's talking mm-hmm. about honoring. It's mm-hmm. talking about pleasing the Lord, right?
Yep.
Those are all attitudinal things, too. Those mm-hmm. are all describing a heart condition. So I would right. suggest that those that keep the Lord's Sabbath are also, and those that don't, are also expressing a heart condition. If you treat the Sabbath day to be identical as the other 6 days of the week, in what you do and how you think and how you talk and all of that, then it is the same. And you are going against what it says earlier, Exodus 20, right?
Yes.
Keep the Sabbath day is the Lord's day. You are mm-hmm. to keep it holy. It's the day I like to let the reins go because I'm so busy the other days, you see. Yeah. It's because God called me to it, but also because it's a day that I say, okay, God, I recognize that you are in charge of things. I am not the one. and to show that, I'm not making any plans today. I mean, you know, plans for the future. I mean, we have people over and we do things, but it's not my day. Mm-hmm. So it's a big thing here.
It meant a lot for, you know, to me to read that you're right about the heart attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And that is important.
And it is God causing,
mm-hmm.
but it is in response to our drawing near to him too,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep,
by keeping the Sabbath. Yep. I mean, he lays out stuff that's not really that hard if you're paying attention, right? And he tells us throughout his word, it's the heart condition that he most cares mm-hmm. about. Mm-hmm. So that's what needs to be right. Okay, let's move on to Deuteronomy. I'll do this row of verses. Deuteronomy 28:25. Notice, again, that we're not just talking about God causing and God's plan, short-term, long-term, or whatever. We're talking some more about what that is supposed to have mm-hmm. to do with our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 28:25. One more page. The Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. You will come at them from one direction, but flee from them in seven, and you will become a thing of horror to all the kingdoms on earth. Now that sounds kind of scary.
Sure
We've been
does.
Talking about God causing all this good stuff to happen, and now all of a sudden it says, the Lord will cause you to be defeated before your enemies. And the reason for that is, wrong heart condition,
right.
rebellious hearts,
mm-hmm.
and disobedience. So this is also important, I think. I'm writing down, rebellious hearts lead to defeat.
Mm-hmm. I'll write that too.
That God is a disciplinarian. He doesn't only pour out good things to us. I mean, he is always good. But discipline is part of that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to...
I can see your mind. I can hear the wheels
somewhere
turning.
Somewhere just recently, That was expressed, but I'm trying to remember where. Is it either in the book I'm reading or Joyce Meyer that I watch every morning or I don't know. I
can't remember. Well, let's move on here to Isaiah 53:10. I'm going to try to make a little time because there's so many verses,
that.
So I'm just going to move forward if they seem to be kind of direct.
Okay.
But that's a warning. You know, we just got through reading verses that say, as long as your heart's in the right place and you're keeping the Sabbath and so on, you're going to have joy, you're going to be on the heights of feast, inheritance, and all that. Well, the opposite is also true. If you're going to have your heart turned against the Lord, you're going to be rebellious and so on, you're going to come down to defeat. So.
And that should be the way.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Okay.
God reaches.
Isaiah 53:10. Okay. Yet it was the Lord's will to crush him and cause him to suffer. And though the Lord makes his life a guilt offering, he will see his offspring and prolong his days. And the will of the Lord will prosper in his hand. Mm. Anybody know who he's talking about here? It's Isaiah, right?
Yep.
Who's he talking about? It's a precursor
It's Jesus. Yes, it's about Jesus.
It's a precursor to the Lord. That's one of the reasons I like Isaiah.
Yeah, okay. I love Isaiah.
Now, it was the Lord, that Father's will, to crush him and cause him to suffer. Mm. So it's God. Mm. Let's not ever think, one thing by the time I was done with this study, let's not ever think that the enemy is stronger than God. Or that this or that or the other, you know. God is over all things. He is the cause of what's going on. He generates. He makes what happens happen. He causes him to suffer. And then once again, we see it's part of the bigger plan, right? Mm-hmm. The Lord makes his life a guilt offering. He will see his offspring and prolong his days, and the will of the Lord will prosper in his hands.
Love that. Guilt.
Yeah, so once again, God is accomplishing his plan by his power, by his details, you know?
Mm-hmm. And the offspring that are being talked about are believers from...
Yes, that's right. The offspring. Exactly right.
All, you know.
Yes. So he prolongs the days of Jesus' offspring. That's us. Mm. All right. Malachi. Now, you notice that there's Isaiah, and then more Old Testament books and all that, then 400 years of silence between the Testaments. Then the gospel starts to be written. So the stuff that we read in Isaiah that so clearly refers to Christ was given to him by the Holy Spirit when he wrote that, Isaiah. Okay, Malachi 2, 8, and 9. Would you read it, Marshall, for me, please?
Yes.
So I don't have to...
Okay.
You don't have to.
But you have turned from the way, and by your teaching have caused many to stumble. You have violated the covenant with Levi, says the Lord Almighty. So I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law.
Okay.
Strong statement.
Certainly is. Okay. So we just got to reading a verse about God disciplines, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. And here it says Malachi is speaking against the priests that are misrepresenting the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And he's telling them, by misrepresenting the truth, you're causing other people to stumble. You know, you're violating the covenant with Levi, the Levitical covenant, which is they were supposed to be the priests speaking for God. So God says in verse 9, I have caused you to be despised and humiliated before all the people, all, because you have not followed my ways, but have shown partiality in matters of the law. So they were showing favoritism. So, you know, there's another thing for us to be alert to, too. You know, this is a consequence of favoritism. But we see that. So mankind is significant.
Mm.
You know, Scripture teaches, we love because he first loved us.
That's right.
God is the creator with a capital C. But he has created us with the ability to make things, to bear children, you know, make new, bring new life into the world, and build things and all of that, because we are created in His image. Well, we're also able to cause. We have serious, you know, things. Our actions have results too, yeah. Like these Levites that were doing the wrong thing. Mm-hmm. They caused other people to stumble by their actions.
Is this in reference to living Christ-like?
Oh, well, you mean that we're supposed to be? Yes. Oh, yes. Okay. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And one of those things, which a lot of people don't talk about it very much, but I've done some study on it, well, a few years ago, but favoritism. You know, simply favoritism. And Christ talked about that, actually, where he says, you know, when somebody comes to the table, you don't put the rich people up at the front where they get the food first. Mm-hmm. You're not supposed to be doing that.
Right.
And here it is, here, too. No favoritism. That's not the way it's supposed to be. Mm. Okay.
There's something about the Lord's Supper that wasn't the, when they were all sitting around right before that, and they wanted to know who is your favorite first, or right. who is, you know, your
right. Yes, okay. Yes, yes. So that's favoritism is definitely a down, thumbs down thing.
You know, I thought just a real quick thing here, but what I was impressed with that admonition and to have that severe punishment was important, because this is something we need to look at now. There's a lot of false teachers and people that do things against the Bible and teach.
Yes.
And it's this principle, it was ongoing. All false teachers, heretics, will be dealt with by the Holy God's righteous judgment and justice.
Yes.
So, man or woman.
That's right.
You know, if they're not doing, you know, if they're teaching and are not doing it in a biblical fashion, then fashion's a bad word. Oh my gosh.
I understand.
Aren't doing
it
biblically.
That's right.
They have to answer to the Lord.
That's right. That's right. God, and God deals with them directly himself.
Big time. Yeah,
yes.
He does.
And it's very important. You're right. It's very important. I'm glad you brought that point out, because he speaks directly to the Levites, who are the ones that were the priests. And they had a higher requirement.
That's the word.
Yes. And they were misrepresenting God's word.
Mm-hmm.
So the same result would be true today.
Yeah. That's a higher requirement.
Yeah,
like higher. That. That's right.
Yeah. All right, let's, I'm going to ask you to carry on, Marcia, here. In Exodus chapter 23.
Here we go. All right. Okay. Do not let them live in your land, or they will cause you to sin against me, because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. This hit me really hard, and for a whole lot of reasons, but all right, I'll tell you what.
Okay.
Those who worship idols or serve false gods or have different attitudes and worship anything other than God should not live among us, or, and I wrote in parentheses because this happened, we allowed someone, or be boarders in our homes. Their false gods are a treacherous snare to believers and could cause us to sin against God the Lord, appropriate to our associations outside of our believers. I said, I wrote at the bottom there, take heed, it's true, because we had someone living, we didn't invite him, he had no place to go, and it was someone that had gone to school with our son, and he didn't stay with us very long, but come to find out, he was a Satan worshiper, or whatever you call them, I don't know what he was, but I found out, and it was a very bad situation, and we couldn't, you know, my husband and I couldn't figure out what was going on until finally the Lord impressed upon us that we were under severe spiritual attack, and we told him to leave. I mean, it was just a real spooky time.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we had to lean completely on the Lord. And Jeff took the action to say, you need to leave.
Right, good.
So Anyway, so it's very true. Don't let...
Satan and the Lord can't live in the same
exactly
place.
Right. Exactly.
You are absolutely right.
Without creating a whole lot of turmoil and...
Let me tell you.
The, in verse 33, then, do not let them live in your land. Okay. Those are the people who worship other gods, right?
Yes.
And what, you notice, it's worship. Worship, heart condition.
Right.
Heart it condition. Is.
I'm going to write watch heart condition because that is so true.
And you see why. Because they will affect you. They will cause you to sin against God. Because the worship of their gods will certainly be a snare to you. Snare, destruction.
Oh, it's unbelievable. The thing is, we did not seek God's will in that. We felt bad for him. So we were out of his will, and that was the thing. So.
Right. You led with your feelings.
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was I'm fight with that.
Deuteronomy 3,
all right.
28. Deuteronomy 3, 28. Cause. We're getting a lot out of that word, aren't we?
You sure are. Okay. All right. But commission Joshua and encourage and strengthen him. For he will lead this people across and will cause them to inherit the land that you will see. This is Moses speaking. And God commanded Moses to commission, encourage, and strengthen Joshua to lead the Israelites across the Jordan into the promised land God had promised. Now, Moses had disobeyed the Lord. This is just going back just in references. I know because he struck the rock instead of speaking to it. He was not allowed to enter the land, but God's mercy allowed, in God's mercy, he was allowed to see the promised land. But, okay. God told Moses Joshua was to cause the people to inherit the land.
Okay.
So in this case, Joshua... Which I found an interesting thing, but I had to really think about that hard because it didn't seem like a thing a man could do, but then he was chosen by God, so because he would do it through God's direction and all. But anyway.
Okay, so Joshua then was going to be the intermediary, so to speak, of accomplishing God's will. God was going to make it happen through Joshua. And God is making that clear, right? Joshua is going to be the one that will cause the Israelites to inherit the land, Canaan, right? Okay.
Yes.
So, did that happen?
Yes.
Ah, why is that?
Because Joshua was obedient to God.
Yes.
His hard attitude, he was
Because God said so.
Totally.
Because
obedient.
God said so. God said, you know... You have to commission Joshua. You have to encourage him and strengthen him and all of that. And he will cause the people to inherit the land because God said so.
Yeah, that's neat.
So people can cause things to happen. Scripture's really clear about that. We started off by saying God causes this. God causes that. God, right? God, they're not always good thing. God causes consequences and discipline in people's lives too, to straighten them out ultimately, you know, for the right things. But people also have, Dr. Schaefer used to say this, you know, when you have an activity, it's like taking a stone and dropping it in a pond. There are going to be ripples that go out from that stone. So for good or for ill, we cause things to happen by our activity.
Yeah.
Very important to remember that.
That is
true.
Yep.
All right. Let's go on now. We'll pop over to the New Testament again, and we'll look at 2 Corinthians 4:15.
Okay.
All right. 2 Corinthians 4:15.
All this is for your benefit, so that the grace that is reaching more and more people may cause thanksgiving to overflow to the glory of God. Grace,
yes,
is the cause, or is causing thanksgiving to, as it says, overflow to the glory of God. hard thing about writing with this one, it was the best thing, was the verse itself. It was so succinct.
Yes, yes.
I tend not to be.
Yes.
But believers are blessed by and through God's outreach of grace, his gift, reaching more and more people. This way, his grace may cause thanksgiving to joyfully, bountifully flow to the glory of God.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Do you have anything to add there, Deborah?
I just have this translation of this same verse. Okay. All of this is for your benefit, and as God's grace reaches more and more people, there will be great thanksgiving, and God will receive more and more glory.
Right.
All right.
So as it reaches more and more people, he will receive more and more.
Yes, I'm glad you brought that up. That's exactly right. And once again, where does the grace come from that's causing all this stuff, right?
From God.
Yes, that's right. Mm. So God,
it's God's grace.
That's right. It's God's grace. It's God's gift of grace, right? Mm-hmm. That then causes great thanksgiving over all the benefits that we get from that, right? Which ultimately brings glory back to him. Mm. Cool, huh?
That's neat. I like that. Yeah.
Yep. All right. So that's a little New Testament look at causes. So grace can actually, God's grace causes stuff to happen. All right.
It's a good mix of causes.
Yes, that
and
was right.
The purpose of
and there's so many different ways, things to learn, new understandings to gain from all of that.
Mm.
There wasn't a lot of times we flow into one or two big impacts from all the verses, but this one was quite diverse. Yeah, there are a lot of different things.
Definitely.
Yeah. So you start off by talking about God, because that's where we should.
Mm-hmm.
We start talking about God and his character and so on and so on. But now we see that we are part of all of this. All right, let's go on. Deborah, I'm going to ask you to do the next one, please. The next row here. And we'll start with 2 Samuel 22.
2
Samuel 22:34. Right.
Okay. This is... He makes my feet like the feet of a deer and causes me to stand on the heights.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
He. God.
Yeah, who? Good. God, right. Very good. Okay, God, what?
He's giving blessings. He's giving great benefits. He's allowing people to basically be light on their feet, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
I can't put it into words.
Can you describe what the feelings might be if you've never actually been there, but maybe you haven't been on the top of a really high mountain, but maybe a good sized hill or a place where you've had that kind of feeling? Can you describe the feeling?
It's beyond awesome.
Okay.
Actually, because I'm roughly new to this area, when we went up to the top of Cannon Mountain, and that was, and it was a breathtaking, awesome sight, something beyond. I mean, it's almost something that you cannot put into words.
Yes, okay,
there's
good.
The worst thing about it was, I took my mother up there when she came up here, and she said, "Well, that was one heck of a beautiful tram ride." I thought, "Mom, enjoy what's here,"
right,
you know?
Right. And notice the example that's used there. He makes my feet like the feet of a deer.
Mm.
Now, a deer, have you ever seen deer, caribou, bighorn sheep or whatever in the mountains?
Mm-hmm.
They're jumping from place to place, and their feet are really secure.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They don't...
Sure-footed, yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
They're not tumbling down or anything. So it's not like some of these commercials, which I don't know how they do it, where they have a person and a car on the top of a huge mountain, you know, and they're taking pictures from a helicopter or something like that. you know, how did they get there? And, you know, if they tried to move around, they'd fall off, or, you know, somebody put them there like that. No, mm-hmm. God does it like a deer mm-hmm. on a mountain. Mm-hmm. He makes us secure in that place.
Yeah.
Incredible. Really incredible. And he causes me to stand on the heights.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Securely.
Securely.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, so if you're one of those people that has a fear of heights, you could take that out of the equation.
Okay.
Take that out of the picture.
Thank me.
Yep. I was thinking something else, too, if it's mm-hmm. okay
yes.
to add. But when it said that about the heights,
mm-hmm.
He makes it possible for us to stand firm above the grip of the world.
Mm.
And we are clad in our spiritual armor. But I was thinking that he's the one that allows that. He causes us to stand firm
yes.
and to be
yes.
secure.
Yes. You know, that might be another synonym to put in there, too, is allows.
Oh.
You know, it's
okay.
God, so it's difficult to take him and put him into just one word and cause to allow. Well, it's more than that, because it's his plan
yeah.
that makes it happen. It's his power that makes it happen. Yeah, it's his permission too that makes it happen, you know. Yeah, cause, yeah, okay, cause. It's a little difficult
when he causes, so it's totally different than we can
yes.
grasp, you
oh,
know
yes.
it's
oh, yes.
amazing.
Yes.
This was an impressive study, I thought.
I feel that
really
way, too.
It
really caused me to... It really caused me to...
Oh, yeah.
The reason I chose the word cause was because I've been talking to the Lord about that in my life and realizing the things that... The changes and the growth and development that I believe, you know, needs to happen for me is something I know I'm not capable of doing on my own. The only way that I'm going to be able to grow like that is for God to take hold of me and cause it to happen. So I don't just say, you know, make me more patient or this mm-hmm. or that, or help me, whatever. I say, you know what, God, please cause me to such and such.
Mm.
You know, his power, his permission,
yep.
and so on.
Mm-hmm.
His plan.
Mm,
his
that's
plan.
Good, yep.
Okay, so let's look at the next one there, Deborah.
Ooh.
Luke 2:34-35. Luke 2...
Then Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, "This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel, and to be a sign that he will be spoken against, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, mm-hmm. and a sword will pierce your own soul too."
Mm-hmm. Okay, now before you get into this, do you know the setting when this took place?
I'm assuming.
Yeah.
Because I do read.
Mm-hmm.
I did read
mm-hmm.
above.
Okay.
And,
mm-hmm.
But I'm not exactly sure who Simeon is.
Okay.
But I would think this is shortly after Mary conceived.
Mm-hmm.
Which was an interesting thing. And talking about Jesus causing many things to happen, it says falling and rising.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
And causing him
mm-hmm.
to be a sign
mm-hmm.
and to be spoken
mm-hmm.
against.
Right.
Because the people that speak against him, their hearts will be revealed eventually.
Right.
I mean,
okay.
It may not happen like right now,
mm-hmm.
but I don't know. But who is Simeon in the in
okay?
This?
This happened. Do you know what city it happened in, Marcia? Uh-huh. Starts with a J.
Jerusalem.
Okay, good. Right, Jerusalem. And the Jewish tradition is that on the eighth day, the boys are circumcised. They're presented to the temple for being circumcised according to the law of Moses and so on. Okay, so they took him to Jerusalem as a presentation to the Lord and to be consecrated and so on. And that's who Simeon was. Simeon was the priest in the temple.
Okay.
And Simeon was also the one who had been praying that he would be able to see the Lord's chosen, you know, the Messiah, basically, and recognized the babe in their arms. I mean, 8-day-old infant in arms. And Simeon knew. Obviously, the Spirit had revealed it to him. Simeon knew who it was. So that's who he was speaking about. This child is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel and to be a sign that will be spoken against. So that, see, that's the purpose. So that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed and a sword will pierce your own soul. So it's going to be tough on Mary. He's speaking directly to Mary there, okay? It's going to be tough on Mary, which we see later.
Is that basically when it says, and a sword will pierce your own soul too? You're basically saying it will be rough on her?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Okay.
It Mary is going to be suffering deep anguish. And it relates, generally speaking, to his suffering and his death and so on, you know. This is her firstborn son and so on. She's going to be aware of what he's going to have to go through.
Okay.
So she'll suffer that as only a mother can.
Mm. I found it interesting that normally he would have spoken to the father, but Joseph wasn't the father, and of course Simeon knew that through the Holy Spirit, so he spoke directly to Mary.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. I didn't think of that. That's right. Okay. So here we see Simeon, the priest, declaring that this child, who's an 8-day-old infant, is destined to cause the falling and rising of many in Israel. I mean, he saw the future of this babe in arms as the cause, a cause.
Mm-hmm.
You know, another person, you know, obviously divine, who is going to be making things happen, generating, evoking, providing, provoking, allowing, whatever. Yeah. All of the words. That's another reason why the breadth of this word, this verb, is very interesting. And we know that Jesus, where was Jesus at the in the Genesis 1?
Oh yeah.
Yeah, what was Jesus' role there?
He was the creator.
Yeah. Yeah. By him all things were made. Nothing was made without Jesus, right? And here, he's a babe in arms, and we see that his purpose, once again, the purpose is going to be accomplished, the causing, you know, is going to be accomplished. All right, let's skip ahead now here to Romans 9:33.
Oh, I love Romans.
I love Romans, too.
It's a good one. 9:33,
when you're ready, Deborah.
As it is written,
See,
I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble and a rock that makes them fall. And the one who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Okay. What do you got to say about that?
God said.
Amen. I'm going to say amen when you finish, by the way.
Jesus causes people to stumble. And this should be changed from and to but. But the one who believes in him will never be put to shame.
Okay.
I'm sure there's more to it.
Okay.
But.
Now, do you see any connection between this verse, Romans 9:33, and Luke that we just did, 34 and 35, see any comparison? What do you see, Marcia?
Well, the falling and the rising.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus is going to be a stumbling block to many.
Mm-hmm. So. Okay. Does this passage, this verse, does this... Do you see any other connections there?
Okay, wait a minute. All right. Zion, a stone.
Well, I'll tell you,
stone causes, Jesus is the stone, as was brought up, and the rock, Jesus is the cornerstone, and he is the rock that we stand on, and all who trust in him. Oh, it's because of who he is.
Yeah, that's right.
He would be a sign railed against in order that the thoughts and hearts, you know, thoughts of the hearts would be revealed. But
this is a restatement. This is a restatement that comes out of Isaiah. It's from Isaiah 8:14 and 28:16.
You're right.
Okay, so you're right. Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, there you go. So Jesus and the fact that he's God and the Savior and all that, you know, he's just to the ones who are in rebellion against God or whatever, God, Jesus is the one they can't get past him. You know, he's causing them to stumble in that sense. That's what that means, in a rock that makes them fall. Mm. But it's the opposite for those of us who trust in him, right? He's the rock on which we can build our life.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Dramatic difference.
It is.
And once again, we see the continuity of Scripture. The people who say, well, there's a lot of really good stuff in the New Testament, and I believe that Jesus is the Christ, and on and on and all that. That's really great. But, you know, the Old Testament has a lot of stories in there. I don't really know if they're true or not. And yet, here we have the Old Testament, Isaiah, being referred to as the truth, and confirming that those prophecies in Isaiah are not just coincidences.
Right.
Okay? They do refer to Christ because they're brought up again here. Christ himself refers to the Old Testament a lot of places too.
And thinking that there's 400 years difference between one and the other.
Between the two testaments it's 400.
Yes.
But that means it's got to be a minimum of 400 years before, because I don't know the dates of the books. I don't keep track of that. But all right, let's it's getting more and more profound to me here.
It sure is.
Huh?
It is. And if I had read my own writing. It's true that it's a continuity of the Scripture.
Yep.
Because that passage is in the Old Testament, you're right.
All right, let's look at Matthew. I'll do the last row here. Matthew 18. Okay. Matthew 18, 6. Matthew 18, 6 through 9.
Oh, this is a strong one.
Now, red letter in my Bible again, so we know it's Jesus speaking, just to make sure we got that clear, all right? Verses 6 to 9. But if anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a large millstone hung around his neck and to be drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of the things that cause people to sin. Such things must come, but woe to the man through whom they come. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life maimed or crippled than to have two hands or two feet and be thrown into eternal fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to enter life with one eye than to have two eyes and be thrown into the fire of hell. Mm. Now, you know, we started off this study talking about God causing Adam to fall asleep and God causing his goodness to pass in front of Moses and God acting relative to the Levitical priests and their problems. I mean, you know, God as the prime mover, so to speak, you know, he's the total authority, sovereign God over everything in the world. And then we see that mankind is also able to do things. He's significant. God made us significant that we can cause things, make things happen too, for good or for bad. All right?
Yeah.
Let's remember that we did start with God cause. Okay, God makes things. To make things happen is a powerful thing. And right here, there's a huge warning. Mm. This is a massive warning. If anyone causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a millstone around his neck and be drowned in the depths of the sea. And pretty serious consequences, right?
Yeah.
And then he goes on, this is how serious it is. When, if your hand or your foot causes you to sin, chop it off. If your eye causes you to sin, gouge it out. And the comparison there of being thrown into eternal fire, obviously the other one entering life, or thrown into the fire of hell. It's, you know, heaven or hell. You better get into it would be better to get to heaven with no feet, arms, no eyes, or whatever, than to be full, you know. Now, do you think that, I mean, I don't know, it's powerful, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, so what do you think? Do you think it really means that my hand did a bad sign to somebody? I better go chop off my, or at least that finger, chop off my hand, literally?
Literally?
Yeah, what do you think? It's Jesus speaking there. I mean, he says hands and feet and eyes. What do you think?
I think it refers to the gravity of the sin.
Yes, that's right. That's exactly right. Now, last time we talked about idolatry and how dangerous that was, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, now we're finding out how dangerous sin is, and the things that cause sin need to be chopped out of our lives. Mm-hmm. And they're not necessarily little things. Like people say, oh, it's Lent, I'm going to give up coffee because I drink too much caffeine. Not like that. I mean, there are things in our lives, we know, the deeper we look, that it is like surgery to get it out of there. You know, if you have a tongue that causes you to gossip, you need to deal with it. And so severely that it's as if you chopped your tongue out. I mean, that's what Jesus is saying here. And he's saying, whoa! And cut it off. It's better to be maimed and crippled than to go to hell with all that stuff in place. This is really serious.
It is.
So we need to be looking for the things that cause us to sin. I got a great big picture in the front of my mind right now. I know. I got a whole big area that I need to be working on.
Right here too.
Yeah, yeah. And it's almost like God is saying to me, woe to you, Sandra. So,
same here. Yep.
It's not something to just rationalize away.
That doesn't work.
No.
He's just going to keep
tapping. Carry on.
Yep.
So, it is important for us to look behind what's going on and find out what's causing it. Mm-hmm. It goes back to the other, what we said earlier on, too. The heart condition is expressed in our behavior. Mm-hmm. So we need to make sure that our heart condition is correct. You know, that then we'll have the right, we're in the Word. We read and God tells us, you know, He's the one that we need to be worshiping. Nothing else, nobody else, so and so on. And all the explanations and understanding what that's supposed to look like. And so when our hearts are right before Him, then we are going to have proper attitudes and we are going to be expressing that right heart attitude in the way we behave. Mm-hmm. You know, we are going to become obedient as a fruit of the right attitudes.
That's for sure.
You know, understandings and the truth. And it just, so here it's saying, and the opposite is true too. So figure out what's going on. What's the cause here? You know, what's making that happen? And I don't know if you ladies have had this experience, but I've noticed that if I try to fake it, doesn't work. You know?
Oh, no. It's like my mother said, I always was a bad liar. Anyway, no, you're right. You can't, because God sees the thoughts and intents of our hearts. Mm-hmm. And we can't. There isn't any getting away from that at all. And let's see.
So.
Okay, whatever. All right. Dun, 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 dun. Here we go. I thought of it as being, all right, it is better to take the loss of any temptation leading to sin and live forgiven than die in rebellion against God while stubbornly gripping any personal stumbling block. Each of us is accountable for our own choices. Right. But the thing is that it may seem whatever that sin is. Whatever the sin is, that whatever that thing is in, I've had many that in me that it is. It's because I am putting that ahead of God,
right.
And that cause that sin causes me to I cause myself actually to sin because I allow that temptation or that particular thing like chocolate or something. To get in the way of my worship of God. It can be anything. It can be TV. It can be anything you want to name.
You were talking last week about the game you were playing.
That's exactly what I was...
is exactly what I was just thinking.
Yep, it can be anything. Mm-hmm. But it's anything that would tempt you, anything that causes you to sin in that case.
Mm-hmm.
But the other... whereas they're talking specifically about anyone who causes a child who believes in Jesus to stumble, that's right. A really horrible thing.
Right.
But so is the sin of basically it's idolatry too.
That's right.
But anything that'll cause sin. I had a cross reference to Romans 9-12, but that's
this. Last time when we talked about idolatry and being led into temptation and so on. One of the actions that was called for was to flee, remember?
That's right.
I mean, that's how serious.
Yeah.
Flee.
Yeah.
Get out of there. And here, this time it's chop it out, right?
Yeah.
Chop it off.
That's pretty graphic.
Gouge it out. It sure
it,
is.
It
sure
needs
is.
To be.
And yep. All right. Romans 14, 19 to 21. Romans 14, 19 to 21. And you notice there's a warning, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We're closing the study. There's a warning. Now here, let's listen to what is being said to the Romans here, 19 to 21. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Do not destroy the work of God for the sake of food. All food is clean, but it is wrong for a man to eat anything that causes someone else to stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or to do anything else that will cause your brother to stumble. All right. So, once again, we see the weightiness of the ability that God's given us to make decisions that there are significant results. We cause, we can cause something. Now, obviously, there are things we might not know. And if it causes someone else to stumble, I don't believe, unintentionally, I don't believe God would hold us accountable for it. But... for example, if we knew that someone was an alcoholic and we invited them to dinner, and the minute they walk in the door, we start offering them alcohol and have it on the table and throughout the evening and all that kind of thing. It could be like saying to me tomorrow, oh, Sandra, let's go shopping, since I mentioned about how I have to not go in the stores around Christmas time, right? Don't ask me that, please. You caused me to stumble.
Let's go shopping.
Yeah, yeah.
It could be anything. Not anything at all. All right, I'll stop.
Now that is Paul encouraging us to be aware of the effect we have on our Christian brothers and sisters. Mm-hmm. It doesn't say that I'm constrained. Let's say there's 100 things that can cause people to stumble. Mm-hmm. There's more. But there's 100 things to cause people to stumble. Okay, so once you become a believer, you can't do any of those 100 things. Now, wait a minute. might be a stumbling block for one is not a stumbling block for someone else. Mm-hmm. We actually have freedom in all these areas. But by considering the well-being of our brothers and sisters, we need to restrain ourselves.
That's true.
So... it's very important. We have a value in what we cause, too. All right. Now let's go to Colossians 2:19, our last passage. We have a lot of passages. I'm kind of moving along here. Colossians 2:19.
Okay.
He has lost connection with the head. from whom the whole body, supported and held mm-hmm. together by its ligaments and sinew, grows as God causes it to grow. Mm. Now.
That was a good one to
Yeah, it's a good with. One at the end, isn't it? That's yeah. why I put it there. Thank you for noticing. That's exactly right. So, the central error of the problem that was going on in Colossia, Colossae, some people say it. Anyway, the Colossians' problem was that they had a wrong view of Jesus. They did not believe that he was also divine. They only saw him as a man. Okay? So he has lost connection with the head, capital H there, you notice, yeah. from whom the whole body, supported and held together by its ligaments and sinews, grows as God causes it to grow. Okay. There's the danger of the church. Mm. When you lose connection with the true Christ, with Messiah, the true Savior, then you've lost connection to the head. How mm-hmm. can the body grow mm-hmm. if the head's not there, right? Mm-hmm. But the significant part, that's the general verse, but the significant part is here that it grows as God causes it to grow.
Yeah. Isn't it? Amen. Nifty? Amen. So yeah.
God is the one that makes it happen. You know, yes, we saw this other stuff, and he works, you know, works across the Israelites and the Levites and the yeah. believers and the, you know, causes yeah. bad things for the evil ones and this and this. But it's not just individuals, a great big, a whole nation. It's his body. It's the church. God is right there causing, making it grow it's by amazing. His power, by his for his purpose. You know, all, you know, yeah. for his, it's he's yeah. the one that's doing it.
Yeah.
I found that it's to be so exciting.
Thing. It is. It really is. definitely. And, it, you know, you can't detach yourself from him because each person is an integral part of the mm-hmm. whole thing.
Exactly.
And God's created or made this unity or union.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure how to say it, spiritually and physically in a way. And as you said, we grow as he does. But the thing is, each of us has a special part because it mentioned sinews and,
yes,
and
yes.
ligaments. Ligaments are little tiny things yes. that hold the was it the nerves to the bone mm-hmm. and stuff like that? Mm-hmm. I don't know exactly, but and God will cause as we grow, he's gonna grow us and grow us and grow us as the body together under Jesus. I mean, it's just awesome. I love
it. It is, it is.
The more I thought about it, I could see this in my mind that it's such a graphic picture of you know the head uh-huh. and the body and each one.
Mm-hmm.
You can't take away one without the other.
Mm-hmm.
You can't be separated.
And so in we end up back where we started the study, right?
Yeah.
God yeah. causes.
Causes.
Yes. Yes. God makes everything happen. We got that.
Mm-hmm.
He has shared that ability to make things happen with us.
Mm-hmm.
You know, for good or for ill, we do have significance here.
Yeah.
And yet he's overall. Mm-hmm. He's the sovereign. He's the final authority.
Mm.
And he warns us about that, you know? In our own lives, cut out the sin in your own mm. life. Don't be a stumbling block in other people's lives. Right? I mean, it's very, very powerful.
Yeah.
I love the connection because we're learning about who God is. And in the midst of that, there's the example. There's the understanding. There's the background for what he's calling, how he's calling us to live.
Mm. That is so neat. It is.
And yet, he's back there, so to speak, causing it. You know, like the one about grace. You read that one, I think, about grace. You know, God gives grace, and grace causes the thanksgiving that brings glory to him.
Yep. It's wonderful. It was such a neat thing. I still can picture it in my mind. It's a...
Mm-hmm. Okay, so do any of you have a final comment? Nope.
Just grateful for each time because learn something every single time. And it does cause you... Ah, there's a word. Anyway, it causes you to dig further in the scripture, and God reveals things to you, too. Mm-hmm. I know things I've been working on. All of a sudden, I'd be reading along, and, well, there it is.
Yes.
And it just brings you this joy.
Great. Okay, we'll close.